Blog Talk Radio. Be a clown in this motherfucker like bird shit. Ready to kick it down, it's a bullet.
Hello?
Bitch, cook us a picture on Sunday.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Mount up around your hard day. Shedding soap, we got no lights and bow ties. Oh, shit, quick. I think it's for what?
Okay, sign guy. Hello.
Live from the 420 Studios, it's Bringing the Heat with Big D and Vaughn. Yes.
All right, it's 7:06 in the Pacific Northwest, and thanks to that wonderful intro from my producer, Sign Guy, you're all welcome that I am taking a few moments from my social media feud with Difola Debashi to take part in the broadcast today. My phone number ringing off the hook all day. Excuse me, background noise. My phone ringing all day about the Difola Debashi situation. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. We've got a special guest on the show as well here, calling in a few minutes. Sign Guy, how the hell are you?
Not too bad.
All right. It's definitely been one of these more stressful times lately in the Pacific Northwest with a lot of different things going on and around the world. And it just seems like it's been a very stressful time recently. It seems like people are just excitable this time of year. What do you think, Sign Guy?
Well, it happens up here sometimes.
Oh, it happens everywhere. I swear to God, I think half the world is on the rag most of the time. Me, myself, I'm just trying to, like, you know, keep it, I'm trying to keep it breezy. So let's, you know, let's try to have a good time tonight, and let's try not to let too much of what's going around taint. Ooh, I said it, the taint. Let's not let it taint what we're doing here. And that's right, I said the magic word tonight, which is taint. So let's see what our friends think about that.
Good goddamn thing.
For real? Damn!
In your goddamn refrigerator. You got that, boy?
Damn!
We don't know a goddamn thing. Friday, and I hear, Sign Guy, rumor is from the movie set that they have finished completing a upcoming sequel to Friday, which actually reunites Smokey and all kinds of other people. So the original cast coming back along with the added cast. So I'll be looking very forward to the fourth installment of the Friday franchise, which definitely looks to be interesting. Now, I'd like to give everybody an update on the Ultimate Deathmatch 4, which actually is our sponsor tonight, Sign Guy, sponsored by Ultimate Deathmatch 4. In Ultimate Deathmatch 4, Sean Kane, the director, ups the body count. Ultimate Deathmatch 4, shot and in a theater soon, near you. Actually, probably shot in January and probably not near you till March, but that's what I was told to read on the thing you guys gave me here. Okay. So we dropped a call from somebody. I don't know who it was, but we weren't ready to have guests yet. We don't take guests for another 10 minutes. We just kind of ramble and do the news. Sign Guy, you have any news from down, any other shows that you're doing that I don't do, BCW, DOA, any current events you'd like to talk about real quick?
Well, I believe NWWA going to be doing a heavyweight title tournament in January. They're taking off the month of December, coming back in January for a heavyweight title tournament. And
that's true. And also the next week, Revolution Pro, I guess.
That is correct.
Yep, that's what I heard.
We saw the suspension of LB Moonshine. He went a bit nuts, got into a scuffle with retired promoter Tex Thompson, and led to a suspension. So we're one Moonshiner less than a week ago.
Oh, are they still the tag team champions?
They are still the tag team champions.
Well, there's our co-host, D, just called in. We'll go ahead and let him in the queue. So anyways, things getting excited, even though Tex Thompson was retired. Well, happy retirement to you, Mr. Tex Thompson. All right, so, and as we know, SCW, Victor Price, I don't know, he's probably listening, and Victor, we're very still hoping that you have a good recovery from that broken leg. And SCW, hey, how you doing, my brother? SCW will definitely not be the same without Victor Price while he's out with a broken leg. So, you know, my heartfelt thoughts out to the former heavyweight champion, but with that in mind, we will actually be crowning a new heavyweight champion on December 5th. Ian Bear versus Sideshow with Sam Sims. Definitely somebody is going to be the new SCW heavyweight champion. So that definitely looks fancy. Maybe you'll be reffing that one, Sign Guy. That looks like it's going to be an incredible matchup.
I'll practice my 1-2-3.
Yeah, someone's going to have to, because in that match they've said there must be a winner. That means there must be a loser, too. What do you think about that, D? Welcome back on the show, D, my co-host, Big D. What do you think about the upcoming Victor Price breaking his leg, the title being vacant, and now us crowning a new SCW champion?
I know that was a sad thing indeed. I just once again, I wish a speedy recovery to the champ, because even though without him being there, he's still a champion until he gets back on his back at his feet. Yeah, he might not have the title because we got to have matches and a fighting champion, but you know the guy come back, bounce back, and be able to go and do what he does best to show why he was champion in the first place.
Yeah, let's hope so. Sometimes guys have a double leg break like that, and they decide, I'm going to call it quits. You know, he is over 30 years old. He was a fighting champion, undefeated for almost 4 years before breaking his leg, a record that I don't think will ever be touched at SCW. I don't think at any point that record will ever be touched. Maybe, but I doubt it. It's going to have to be one, I'm not going to say never, but it's going to have to be one hell of a phenomenal athlete to be undefeated at a competitive place like SCW for 4 years. That's unheard of.
Indeed.
Absolutely. And now we're going to have a new champion, Sideshow. Definitely very game, very great veteran. He's been in many movies, violent competitor. Sam Sims, longtime SCW head. Been took some time off and had a baby. He was running a business. Now he's back full swing. We also will find out who the new SCW commissioner is as of December 5th. So much going on. There's a rumor that a wrestler just relocated here from California Championship Wrestling, which is on TV with Dave Marquez in California. One of his top guys has relocated in the area and has signed with SCW. So stay tuned. Otis,
whoa.
You know, Mother Truck and Otis, and Otis the Gimp from Hood Slam, both signing with SCW as well. On, you know, Otis, Mother Truck and Otis, who wrestles both in Bremerton and in Suquamish, and for the more adult shows in Bremerton, you know, Otis the Gimp signing down there. It just seems like more and more talent. Randy the Pimp Taylor, I was in the gym with him tonight. He's looking jacked. The Underground coming back on New Year's Eve, just so much going on. Bruiser Joe from Michelle Starr's company becoming a semi-regular at SCW and having great things to say about the company.
Former UIWA Pacific Northwest Heavyweight Champion for a hot sec.
Yeah, that's right. And just things getting more and more, and rumors of more and more coming, and some SCW wrestlers maybe making the trip to Canada soon. Just a lot of stuff going on that's getting very competitive in the area. Kevin Sullivan and Coach Mike Jones on a tear with those championship belts. Coach pretty much running wild, using whoever he wants with that Freebird rule with the belts. If Kevin's not there, he's got Chaz Taylor. He's got Jeff Cobb. He's got all of these different competitors. Coach just really pulling the purse strings out to make sure that he keeps those tag team belts. I mean, you got to hand it to him. Since getting the belts in a court decision in controversial fashion, they have defended the belts almost every time they've wrestled. And let's face it, guys, they're on a tear.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm glad to see good things happening for some. And for a while, Coach been doing it, but now with him being the SCW Tag Team Champion along with the Taskmaster himself, Kevin Sullivan, it seemed like he's been having a great couple of past years.
And that match with Kevin Sullivan on Saturday was no exception to the rule. It was a very solid match. It was nice to see Jimmy Skills back. And D couldn't make it, I guess, so they had Jimmy Skills there. And Jimmy Skills did a very great job. It was nice to see him behind the microphone again. And Sonny, who repped and wrestled, and I don't know, their Facebooks have disappeared. If anyone's listening or talk to them, please give them the best from SCW. I don't know what's going on, if there's family issues or whatever, but they're really great people, and I'm publicly and privately hoping that, you know, they're good to go. All right, we're going to take a quick little break here, guys, and we'll be right back, and I think Andrew Anderson will be calling in, and we're going to interview one Andrew Anderson, who will also be here on the 5th. As announced, him and Coach will be defending the tag belts against Fathers of Anarchy, Triple D and myself, and then on the next night, which I think could be even a hotter match, one-on-one versus Hot Hands Mendoza.
That's going to be wild.
Oh, man, that's going to be off the chain, right or wrong.
Oh, no, the monster versus the man with the palms of lava.
Oh, it's going to be just insane. Well, we're going to take a quick little musical break, stretch out, drain the weasel, hit the bong, do whatever you got to do, because when we come back, we're going to straddle in, step in, strap in, and go for this ride with the insane monster and tag team partner of Big Van Vader versus the Steiners recently, Andrew Anderson. We'll be right back.
I sucker. Just look up. Being blind in this motherfucker like bird shit. Randy Mickey Thompson's up on the curb, bitch. Cook us a picture on Sunday. My maniac, full American squad, mount up around your Hyundai. Chevy's up, we got low lights and bow ties. Oh, shit's quick, I'll take it for a boat ride. Stick his head in the water, now let him wrap his lips, mold him out. Make a wave, yeah, roll tide. You're playing golf and lightning, so am I. Dressed in a 10-man suit, drinking a 10-can too. Then it's 110 proof. Man, if I only had a heart for you bitches, I'd get down on my knees and help you dig them digits. But mama only raised hell. So when you done digging that ditch, bitch, bury yourself. Bob, pass me that cold 45.
Hello.
Party into my fucking throat, sore and dry. I'm going down. Oh, man.
Gotcha, man. Hello? Gotcha. Yeah. Yep, gotcha.
Right. Cool. It wasn't good. The first number you put in, for some reason, wasn't coming through.
We got you. I grabbed you. You were here for a second, and then you were gone, and then I grabbed you this time.
I went to check to make sure that was the right number. I just call in. It just said listen to the show, and I'm saying, is that the listening number? So I'm, or is it just the call-in number? So, you know, but how you doing, brother?
Yeah, you were good. You were muted for a second until the song was over, but I grabbed you and put you in the queue because I could tell that you weren't going to get you in the queue any other way. So I grabbed you and got you in there. So technology's a motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not technologically inclined.
No. It took a long time. To be honest, if my wife had walked in on her, you know, banging somebody else, I probably never would have ever learned how to use a computer. But there was this stuff called pussy you could get out there, and I had to do that. So, yeah, that their true story about Von Hess there. If it wasn't for sex, he would have never learned how to use a computer. True story, right, Sign Guy?
That's funny.
Yeah, my producer, Sign Guy, used to run everything all the time. I would just call in with a cell phone standing out of my yard. That was as technological when I was married as I could go the first
That's
time.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, my wife's shaking her head behind me right now going, yeah, and she walked out of the room. So we're all good. So the show started off to a wonderful hit for me. I'll be sleeping on the couch tonight, but I'll still be laughing. So here we are in the wonderful Pacific Northwest. We're on with Andrew Anderson. We've got my co-host, Big D. We've got Sign Guy, the producer, sitting in the thing, the long-haired, skinny, tiny little ref guy who we all love. Andrew's coming in for a couple of shows here on December 4th and 5th and
yep.
Had a lot of big stuff going on in his career. What was it like? Well, we've heard rumors, and I know Steve Cox, he's a friend of mine, and I've had him on the show. And he came on and talked a little bit about the he actually called in after the first show and loved you.
He loved you, but
very unhappy with some certain other people in the matchup.
My tag team partner.
He was one.
He was one person he was unhappy with.
He wasn't upset
with the ref then that I think it was the other two. yeah. Listen, I love Rick and Scotty. I love the Steiner brothers. I love working
legends.
With them.
Legends.
And I've been working Scotty for years. That was actually the first time I ever got in the ring with Rick. So me and Rick were actually laughing about it, you know? And go figure. Scotty calls me a cement mixer. He calls me, he said, I'm too stiff. That's what he told somebody, you know, but no, he was only ribbing. He was ribbing Steve Cox. He really didn't mean it. You know, me and Vader went out there. We look like a tag team. We look like two monsters, you know? So just, it was
That's
a really
on
good
YouTube
time.
Now, isn't it? Isn't it the match on YouTube now?
You know,
believe.
I tell you what, I don't watch myself on YouTube. I really don't unless people make me, because I you know, it's the old scenario when I watch myself doing the senton off the top of the cage, and I thought to myself while I was doing it, I looked like a graceful bird, but when I watched it, I looked like a buzzard shot out of a tree. You know?
Oh, I have a famous cage moment too. I know what that's like.
everybody popped for it. I mean, the place was mega crazy because a 300-pound man would do a senton off the top of a cage. You know?
I would love to see it. Let's see. I'm checking YouTube right now to see if it's on there. Let's see. Vader and Andrew Anderson. I always like to know this stuff here. Let's see.
There's a match between me and Vader. From Brooklyn, New York. There's a good match for me and Vader from Brooklyn.
So you actually know Vader really well then, and you guys get along, so it was just...
Me and him beat each other up. We beat each other up quite a few times. And
oh, there's Vader versus Andrew Anderson is on there. There's 6 seconds of it. Oh, and then there's the rest of it, 12 minutes. So, yeah, you guys can see. Wow, you size up very comparably to Vader. You're doing a test of strength in the thumbnail, and you guys size up. Well, that makes me feel good for getting in the ring with you soon. I'm gonna have to eat my. I'm eating my spinach before that night. Damn it, I'll have to put it in the blender because I hate fucking spinach. So, that mama has to blend it up for me.
I just got off the phone with your buddy Cahagas, the Tokyo Monster. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
He told me, he said, when you get in the ring of Von Hess, he said, make sure you light him up. He likes to be chopped.
Well, he said no 26 times in one match, so.
Oh, he's notorious for that. So am I. He laughs. Actually, he gets a kick out of this. Kevin Sullivan will tell you, I sell my chops at New York Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con. I have a line of about maybe 50 people going out, and I'm turning around, I'm chopping them for $50. They sign the waiver, and I chop them. So I trademarked it so that I could do it at Comic Cons and different. Like,
I've seen that actually on your Facebook, and I've seen it on some of the Comic Con posts. So that was actually going to be one of our questions that I was going to ask, because I've actually seen that, and you'll trace the hand and sign it, the handprint.
And then they take a picture with the handprint on them. You know, and
that's good.
And
that's
thing,
good stuff.
And my dad, Greg Valentine, puts him in the figure four, you know, so he gets a kick out of that. He doesn't even do the figure four anymore. He just slaps it onto a spinning toe hold, and they take a picture with them on the mat, you know.
Because
so
if he put the figure four on him for real, they'd be hurting.
Yeah.
So.
Because he'd
have to put it on snug and make it look good.
Well, listen, he did this one kid. He kept on putting him in the spinning toe hold, and the kid kept on, like struggling, you know what I'm saying? Like fighting Greg on it, you know? So Greg got freaking pissed, and, you know, Dad just turned around and whipped his leg around and freaking sat into it and freaking put him in a full figure four. And he's like, fuck it, the kid already has to sign the waiver, you know?
Jeez. I was on a show, well, not a show, but I was on a show in Arizona a long time ago with him and Tito, and he was talking about another league that gave him the belt.
Uh-huh.
And when he was on that show, they sent him home with the belt and never booked him again. And they were like, can you send the belt back? And he's like, no, I'm the champion. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's what he did.
True story. And
he
several other guys I know have done that since. Yeah, and several guys I know have done that since then. There's a rule.
Yep.
You don't fire the champion while he has your belt, unless you're a fucking moron.
I mean, look, Stan Hansen took the belt and ran it over when Bachwinkle beat him for it, you know, before he returned the AWA title. He won it 20 times, you know, after he beat Rick Martel for it, and then they wanted it back, so he handed it back. He drove over his truck over the AWA belt and shit, you know.
I remember that, and then didn't he walk out of the building before the match, or?
Yep, he told me that story.
Isn't that how the story goes?
Yep, he told me that story when he was actually agenting me in Japan, in All Japan at the time, and I was talking to Mrs. Baba, and he was because Giant Baba was already long gone, and he was telling the story about that, and I was like, wow, that's fucking crazy, you know. So he was there during my first tour to make sure I didn't get torn up like by a real life Cahagas, you know.
Well, there's a lot of them there, from what I understand. I heard it's quite the chopping ground. I'm looking forward to next year on my tour going and finding out firsthand how it is. So
well,
I'm going to
they,
Tokyo.
They,
I'm looking forward to that.
They teamed me up with Rick Fuller and you know, so that,
oh,
you
he's
know,
a monster. Oh, he's a monster too. So
yeah, he's a big guy. So we went in there and they told us just, you know, I knew I was gonna have to fight for my life, but that's where I got most of my experience. That's where I learned, you know, that I can, you really, really don't have to worry about myself, you know what I'm saying? So I do very well.
See, I'm really awesome at getting my ass kicked, Andrew, so that's like what I bring to the table. You've seen my matches. I can take a tremendous, and I'm sure Cahagas has told you, a tremendous amount of punishment. So,
cool. But you know what? Selling is an art. Yeah.
Oh, it sure is.
It's a forgotten art.
And to get a guy and to make a guy look like a monster and to do your job, people forget sometimes that, you know, when you're out there doing your job, that you do your job right. You know, sometimes you don't always look like you got the best end of the stick, is what I try to get guys to understand, especially young guys. They go, well, what can I learn from you? You got your ass kicked like a haggis. I said, yeah, but he loves me.
That's great.
I said, there's a difference. I said, and I learned from it and went out and worked him more and had better and better matches because I learned from that. And he still tells me to this day he loves the first match the best because even though I got pummeled, he looked as the world champion,
well,
I mean,
that
unstoppable.
That put you over and made you famous. That made Ron Von Hess, that match made you famous, bro. That those chops were the shots heard around the world, and that put Von Hess into freaking everybody's YouTube screen somewhere down the road, right next to Debbie Does Dallas and Ass Blasters 4. So.
I'm so honored to be in such great company as Ass Blasters 4. I wish I had Ass Blasters 4 money from all those YouTube views.
You wish you could pay that much, you know, like the porn star do and that stuff. But,
if they have enough money, they can blast my ass for 4 times for $1 million at this point. I'm an old whore. I don't give a shit. I'm so easy.
Fine.
Here's a good thing you learn too is not to take shit so seriously. Accept the training and the work. Like I tell people, it's like it's all a crapshoot. You go out there and have fun. And I tell people what I thought at the time was the worst thing that ever happened to Andrew ended up being the best.
Ended up being
the best thing that ever happened to me.
Listen, that's how it is. I'm looking forward to also seeing Mike Jones, Coach Mike Jones.
Oh sure, good, great guy.
He's a great guy. He's definitely an awesome guy. I mean, and you know what? I didn't see him work until I Googled some of his stuff on YouTube. He's a freaking great athlete.
Phenomenal. He's gotten a lot better. His last tour here at SCW since he's been teaming with Kevin really, like, well, you know how it is when you work with Kevin. Kevin really cranks the ratchets down. He doesn't put up with a lot, and he doesn't want to be associated with crap.
So
you have to ratchet it down. Yeah, and so, I mean, you're very, when you work, because I know I work with Kevin a lot, too. When you work with Kevin, you do what Kevin says, and you shut your mouth, and then you're okay.
I know Kevin. I've been wrestling for 22 years. I know Kevin for 18 of those years.
And you guys are very close, and he's always spoke highly of you, and you guys are very close, and he says you're one of the most phenomenal big men on the planet.
Yeah, you know what? I just always, it was, you know what it is? It's, I have three fathers in this business, and Jimmy Snuka trained me. Kevin taught me how to get myself out there and make sure that, you know, I protected myself and took care of myself and taught me the business end of it. And Kevin actually had the honor of allowing me to book the matches and put the matches together when we were on a tour in Africa. He made me the matchmaker to see what I could do. And he loved the angles and the storylines that I came up with him and the Barbarian that went for UPWF. And so I did that. And my other dad is obviously Greg the Hammer Valentine, who's, you know, basically my dad, you know, so.
Very close to you, and you see you guys doing a lot of stuff together and see you guys at the Cauliflower Alley together, and you guys are very close. So you're like me, bigger, of course, but blessed by so many great mentors who see something in you to help you out. Like I had Tom Nash from the Blackhearts and so many, and Lita and, you know, of course, Cahagas and Putski. You know, Scott Putski and I are real close. And I've learned a lot from in the ring from him. I'll never forget when I took the Polish Hammer, his wife told him backstage, did you shoot on him? He goes, no, that was all Ron. That was all Ron. And he was really happy. And we've been really good buddies ever since that match. And I've got to go down and train with him actually in the ring. And he's just a great guy. And he has not got his due yet either. And he still has some goods. And I'm hoping somebody picks him up still because he still wrestles. And
oh,
I'm hoping
with
somebody
him. I was with him on the show. I was with him on a show in Sulphur Spring, Texas, just a year ago this November, and he looks great. He looks phenomenal. He's hell of a hand at everything he does. You know, I mean, I think he surpassed his dad. I mean, his dad was just a big guy and just did a few things in the ring. Really didn't do much, but Scott does the whole package, man.
Incredible mind on him, too. Incredible mind, good promos, and scary in the ring when you work him. He's believable. He power slammed me 3 times in one match, and I don't think I even had to jump once. He's just legitimately that strong.
He
took care of me. I was not crippled after that match or hurt or anything. I was great. It was great. I loved learning from him, and just was a great chance to go out there, and people go, and then after that match, I didn't think I did that well, and I was tough on myself and was really lucky that another mentor entered my life, and that was Lita. And she pulled me aside and told me to stop being so hard on myself and just, I had a great heart, just train, do the work like you've done, and then other stuff would open up. And I want to talk about your movies, Andrew. You do a lot. You're in movies. You do commercials. I mean, you're out there. You're like me. And then, I'm a small level of what you do because you're doing all this great stuff.
There's no such thing as small level. It's all, as long as you're out there, you're out there,
You do a lot of big mainstream things. There's a rumor that there might be a new Hellboy movie and you're going to be in it possibly.
Yeah,
there's.
I auditioned for it, but, I don't know. I haven't heard anything since,
Well, the movie's not off the ground yet. It hasn't been green-lighted, from what I understand, so
yet. They already told me the casting in it and everything, It was like Ant-Man. Ant-Man was, I auditioned for Ant-Man. I had a decent role, and they filmed it, and then my role was kind of cut on the cutting room floor. I was one of the guys in the blue shirts in the prison scene, the fight, and you really couldn't tell, So it was kind of,
At least you got to be on the set for a Marvel movie, which means they know what a big guy you are, which means up for future things. It's like I'm casting a movie that I haven't even made yet, and I'm already getting more stuff from people from being cast in a movie.
That's how it happens. I just did a movie. I'm going to plug it. A mob comedy called Good Friday.
You filming that on your Facebook.
Yeah, I was with Earl Cooter, who's one of the guys who's actually part of Evolve and some other federations. A great young worker. He's a great guy. And he was actually trained by Sabu, and him and I worked the match in the movie. He played a kid from a local parish, and I played this big, mean, tough guy. And the priest actually, and the mobsters put him against me in the ring to try to get the priest to win back. They're betting on pro wrestling in the movie.
So it's nothing like real life at all.
No, not this. But it was a good solid scene. The movie translated the fight scene in the ring translated really well, and the movie is actually really good. And Sal Rinella was in the movie, and he actually let me direct for the most part most of the scenes and put the scenes together as far as that. So I helped a lot with that, and I got some credits, a lot of credits as far as directing and basically running traffic and working behind the scenes, behind the camera for a change. So it was pretty cool. So considering I have no experience doing that, and he was allowing me to take charge, and because he knew nothing about wrestling, and he let me film all the angles and do everything and tell him how to get the crowd to cheer, and then cheering the crowd from left to right, like almost like a tennis game, to see who was, so they film, make it look like who's getting something done from one side of the ring to the next, so it extended our fight a little longer, it extended our match.
That's awesome. I'm excited that you got a great movie coming out, and you also did an episode of Vikings recently, right?
Two of them, yes. So Kevin keeps calling me saying, can't wait to see when I got my head chopped off from the movie.
You got your head chopped off in Vikings? That's awesome.
Yeah. My goal is to get eaten in Jurassic World.
I want to get eaten.
He's having high hopes that I do get my head chopped off. He's like laughing. He goes, I want to bring the prosthetic head and put it on my coffee table so when Linda comes home she can have a bit.
He would too, the sick bastard. He would.
He's insane.
He'd drink and party with it too, because you know how he is. He'd sit there and eat his Boston hot dogs and drink with it and smoke his cigars.
I got to tell you a funny story. We're in a hotel room in Africa. Kevin's sleeping. He sleeps on his back for the most part. And when he sleeps, he talks to sleep a lot. So you don't know if he's really awake or if he's actually praying to the freaking, to Abu Dhabin or somebody. You know what I'm saying? So you hear him mumbling in his sleep. So I get Val Venus's beard trimmer.
and I think Val Venus's beard trimmer and me, Val, and Shelton Benjamin sneak into the room. And I turn around, and I'm just about to put down, I wanted to shave Kevin's eyebrows. Just about to get Kevin, his hand shoots up like Jason in Friday the 13th, and he yells at, "Why don't you shave my balls while you're at it?" You there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, he was like, I couldn't believe he was such a light sleeper.
Oh, I've seen him crash out in the car when we were on road trips and stuff, and snoring and doing that when we were partying.
Oh.
So I party with Kevin a lot when we went on the road together. We had a lot of fun. Kevin's a fucking riot on the road. So
yeah, he's really
people
good.
Don't understand how approachable and how cool he really is until you get to know him. Like, I always get guys getting their chops busted because they have pictures of them with Kevin on their site, and they're like, "Why would you bother Kevin?" And they don't realize, like you and I do, that he's just really cool and approachable and does not care. He's
not the guy
that's going to think you're a mark because you want a picture with him. He gets it. He knows he's a legend. He knows you want the picture. He's going to give it to you. He's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good people. As a matter of fact, you guys got to listen to this. I'm wrestling Rikishi in Ohio, and Kevin for World Big Time Wrestling. And I got Rikishi down in the corner. Kevin's choking him, and Kevin's talking all that mumbo jumbo. Then somehow we reverse it where I get in the corner. And Rikishi is trying to give me the stink face. So while Rikishi's trying to give me the stink face, he's coming out, just about to give me the stink face. Rikishi thinks I'm grabbing his ass. It's Kevin reaching through the ropes and grabbing Rikishi's ass. Rikishi's going, "Drew, what the fuck are you doing?" You know, he's like, I'm teasing it. Stop grabbing my ass. You know, Rikishi, every time Kevin grabbed his ass, Rikishi would kick back, mule kick me in the corner. So Kevin knew exactly what he was doing. He's grabbing Rikishi's ass. Rikishi would kick, boom, kick me in the face. I'm like, "What?" I was like, "Oh, Kevin, knock it off." And he's like, I was like, "Whose fucking side you on?" You know. Oh, she's funny as hell, man.
Rikishi is a really awesome. I was on one show in Oregon with him and Tonga Kid, and they were
both super awesome
guys. Oh, yeah, great guys.
Keish is the best. Actually, I'm going to see Keish, I think, on Saturday night. On Saturday night, I'm going to see him in Philadelphia. We're doing a show in Philly. So, yeah. Oh, no, in Allentown. I've seen him in Allentown. So, but he's awesome, you know. And him, Brian Knobs, you know, Jerry Sags. Jerry's become one of my closer friends, you know. So, and Brian.
I heard those guys are nuts too, by the way.
I had such a good time with the two of them. And Brian is, I call him, you know, the big joke is that Brian's only about 7 years older than me, but I call him Uncle Brian because he's Greg's brother-in-law. You know, so it's like they're both married to sisters, and it's like it's funny as hell, you know. So, everything's good, man. I'm looking forward to the trip, you know, and you know, just I'm hoping that Coach Mike remembers to pick me up at the airport, you know. You guys there? I can't hear you.
I'm still here. I'm just Ron.
Looks like
Hello?
He dropped the call. Ron, there he is.
What happened? Where'd Ron go? He went out for a toilet break?
Probably. So it looks like we'll be having you up here for the first weekend of December up at SCW. And it looked like from one of the matches I see they got you up against Hot Hands Mendoza.
Yeah, who is that? I don't know this guy. I never heard of him. Give me a breakdown on him. I want to know whose ass I'm going to pick before I do it.
He wrestled in Puerto Rico some time ago for a Carlos Colon promotion
out there.
He came out here
recently.
He's
a hell of a worker then. He's got to be a good worker because
yeah.
I know that Carlos don't take crap. You know, he only has good guys.
Oh, Hot Hands.
He's been wrestling out here for a while, and he's basically became a crowd favorite just because of his work ethic alone. You know, say with him, no gimmick, no obviously, just for him doing his ring work, he was able to sway the crowd. I mean, pretty much. Worked his way through most of the promotions out here in the Pacific Northwest.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to my.
Can you guys hear me? We've lost power out at my house, so in the storm.
Wow, you guys have a bad storm out there? You guys having a bad storm out there? Or?
Oh, yeah, it's been like that for the past week.
Really? Bad weather, huh?
Yeah.
Now, where in Washington are you guys?
I live up in Everett, north end of Seattle.
Okay. And where does Von Hess live?
Out in Port Orchard.
Cool, very cool. Get me his address on the air. I'm going to have all the fans send him live bags of live crickets and mice so that when he opens up, it's like the biblical plague coming to his house.
In fact, he's, let's see what he just said. Oh, no, it's not him, from someone else. But, yeah, said the match you got so far for the first one, like said, with say, Hot Hands, that should be a great match. And then between the chops, say, the chops that y'all will bring, that's just going to drive everybody around the area nuts.
Awesome.
And then, of course,
awesome.
We got the tag team match with you and Coach Mike Jones. That's going to be really
mm-hmm.
out of it, too.
That's
out
awesome.
The world.
And I think Kevin's managing us on all the shows. Kevin's managed me on all, both shows, obviously. So, you know, that's always fun, you know. I love working with Kevin, you know. Just Kevin managed myself, Barbarian, Haku, on numerous shows, you know.
I know, and that's just, I mean, I remember, said, when I heard about that, what was said, looking up videos, that's just right there alone is a monster squad right there. And that,
yeah.
I mean, for me, I said, as a fan of wrestling also, but just seeing big guys together, because it seemed like during the age, of the, as said, wrestling moved forward, everybody wanted to see the guy
yeah.
that looked similar to their size or something like that. I'm like, no, man, no, I want to see
nah,
the giant monsters.
You want to see big monsters, you want to see guys look like superheroes, you know? So now,
yeah.
now wrestling lacks variety. They everybody looks the same, you know. I mean, I wrestled this kid this weekend in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Phenomenal, looks great, tremendous, and a great worker and a nice guy, Kevin Cross. And he's a hell of a hand in the ring, and I like working him. You know, I had a good time, but he looks like a Randy Orton. But the problem is that a lot of people just look like that now, you know.
Yeah, tons of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a stereotypical
no,
new look. It's diaper, boots, and one tattoo.
Yep. No, nobody has variety anymore. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, we do. You and me in
yeah.
Tokyo all look different.
Yeah, me, you, and Tokyo
I'm
look
a
different.
Freak.
That's true. So, yeah. Actually,
I never hear
fang.
I look like anybody else.
I saw the fangs, man. How do you do that without biting your tongue?
Actually, mine are different than Gangrel's or anybody. I was in a car wreck, and mine are prosthetic, and they're a completely new process that was invented just for me, and they work great.
Wow, cool.
You'll see when you're up there, I'll show you, but I got to go, guys, because the storm's really bad. It's like almost ripped my garage off and ripped out our power lines. So I will be back on. Andrew, you can finish the show with these guys, because D's a great co-host.
Awesome.
We're going to have to take over, okay?
Not a problem.
Okay, take over, treat Andrew with courtesy. Andrew, I'll call you personally soon to talk to you about your arrangements for up here.
Awesome,
and
brother. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in and being so gracious and awesome. And you guys, if I get my power, I'll call back in before 9. If not, like I said, well, I'd like to have Andrew maybe on again soon, maybe next week even, and we'll even do some more. But you guys finish interviewing Andrew, sign guy, you help out. And thank you, Andrew, and I'll talk to you guys soon, okay?
All right, buddy. Thanks, Ron.
Definitely. All right, so, yeah, so sound like Ron taking care of business. Hopefully
yep.
everything works out for him on his end. But we'll go back to you, Reinforcer. Just, yeah, we're talking about guys looking pretty much the same. I mean, now I'm hearing the term everybody pass around cookie cutter, the mold shape.
Yeah.
I just think it's the time where we're in. It's the time where we're at, and then pretty much every area is so saturated with watching the big show, they think that's the way to go and how they look. Me, myself,
yeah.
The reason why I love independent wrestling is because you still get to see the characters and the different people.
Oh, yeah. Indie wrestling is more gimmicks now than anything, you know? Thank God, because for a while there, it was the opposite. The WWE and WCW, and even ECW to an extent, they were all gimmicks, and indie was all becoming so serious. You had your all these straight shooters in there. Just everybody wanted to be a shooter. Everybody wanted to be a high flyer, but they all looked the same. Then all of a sudden, the big leagues. All of a sudden, everybody in the big leagues started to look like Randy Orton, like The Rock. you know, everybody had that same build, skinny waist, big shoulders, tattooed down the arm, and everybody became that cookie cutter type, you know. And now it's the indies have all the gimmicks now, you know. They have me, they have Cahagas, they have everybody, you know. I mean, you know, Ron. I mean, on the West Coast, and then you have guys up here on the East Coast, you know, like this kid Prince Akhenaten, who runs around dressed like an Arab. You know, I mean, you have a whole bunch of, a lot of different gimmicks up here in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania area. You know, I mean, I'd be, you know, there's one kid out that wrestles with me that I tagged with on a Friday night in New Jersey. His name is Colossus. He's a monster. He's a big, like King Kong Bundy, 450-pound guy, and he has a mask similar to Bane, and, you know, not like Bane, but similar type. Like an S&M mask, and he's a great athlete for a big guy, and, you know, it's a shame because somebody like him would never get a push, you know?
And that's what I like. I mean, I was just explaining to some people earlier about, like, because it's so funny being a person that get to travel to a lot of these independent promotions, and whether I'm in the audience as a fan or ring announcing, I love going to them. So when I meet someone else who say, oh, yeah, I'm a fan of wrestling, oh, yeah, you check out social? Oh, I didn't know there's a local show or independent, what you call it. I'm like, if you're a fan of professional wrestling, how do you not know this stuff? I mean, it's not that hard. Even if you have to just type in for a moment, independent wrestling, your area, you should be able to go. Because
yep.
I tell them, pretty much, it's the place where you can meet the stars of yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely.
If you love wrestling, you're going to meet everybody. Just like I was telling them, telling some people about you, like, I'm like, this cat is even doing commercials. I guarantee. I'm like, I can't remember the commercial I've seen him in, but I remember seeing him in one and was like, oh my gosh, I know who that dude is.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it was like a Skittles commercial or something like that.
Yeah, I did the Skittles, the Doritos, a Colchris pharmaceutical commercial, print ads. I mean, I had my picture of me holding a bag of Skittles in a backbreaker in the middle of Times Square, bigger than life, you know?
How cool is that?
I'm
like, I think it was in a Skills commercial. I don't want to sound wrong, but I'm like, it's sticking in my head. Look it up when y'all get home.
That's it, man. Everybody loves it. So, I mean, it's cool. I mean, I had fun doing them, and hopefully I'll get more and, you know, just trying to keep things rolling, you know what I mean? It ensures a life after wrestling, because I'm not going to be wrestling forever, you know. Although Kevin Sullivan might be. He's like 97 now.
Oh, no.
I love him dearly, but I'm probably one of the only people on the planet to get away with calling him Papa Smurf or a diminutive bastard all the time, you know.
No, it's so funny. Like, so yeah, my son got a chance to talk to him, look at him, he say he really looks up to him, especially, like, say, when he met him, like, 6 years ago and learned the full history of Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You've seen this little 9-year-old kid just exploring the full history of him and growing up with him, and it's like, wow, that's crazy.
I
look at him and...
I wish WWE or somebody, because WWE owns all the Florida tapes and all the NWA stuff. I wish they would make a Kevin Sullivan retrospective, you know? The best of Kevin Sullivan. His matches with Dusty, with Blackjack Mulligan, with Wahoo McDaniel, with his teaming with Jake the Snake, the Purple Haze, J.J. Dillon.
Varsity Club, Hip.
Yeah, the Varsity Club, and... You know, Rotunda.
The match he had against Tony Atlas was great. I remember
his matches against
that.
Tony Atlas were tremendous, man. Matches were tremendous. He had matches with Andre, you know? So he had matches with Andre. Impressive stuff, you know. He's a great guy. And then his years when he was playing the Taskmaster with the Dungeon of Doom, he could throw all that. And his feud with probably his last big feud was with Chris Benoit. You know, which was a work shoot, you know, but it was really a work, you know, it wasn't a shoot. Everybody thinks that it was part of that whole thing with the Nancy Sullivan thing, but it wasn't. That was already long done, you know, and it was just him and Benoit working it, you know. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool. I had a good time working with Kevin over the years and, you know, working out at the power plant with a lot of guys down there and in Atlanta and, you know, training with a lot of guys and, you know, hanging out with Bill Goldberg. And, you know, just right now I have a show coming up in Miccosukee, Florida, January 23rd, Legends of Wrestling with Bill Goldberg, Bret Hart, I'm trying to think who else, Kurt Angle, God, Brodus Clay, you name it, Mr. Anderson, Ken Anderson, and a whole bunch of guys, you know, on it. And I'm probably going to be managed by my dad, Greg Hammer Valentine, you know, and, you know, the Nasty Boys are on it, obviously, and I'm just going to have a really good time, you know, so.
Oh, that's what's so fun and serious. Wait, SG, are you still here?
Yes.
I'm still with you, brother.
You running the boards?
Yep.
Okay, Sean, you know Sean Kane's in the queue, right?
Hey, Sean, what's up, buddy? Where is he?
Let me see if I can find it here. There, I think we got him. We got Sean.
Sean.
Yes.
It's Andrew Anderson.
Hey, big man, how you doing?
What's going on, buddy?
Brother, I got a lot of questions for you, man, about what happened this week in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
That son of a bitch came out with a midget and a big fat guy with a hat.
Brother, but let's talk about the music first, okay? Who changed his music? Okay, guys,
I have no idea.
I have a video that I just watched, Andy, that has you shaking his hand in the back, and all of a sudden you go off to the side and they start playing Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Did you see his face when he started playing that?
Yeah, no, see, he got pissed, you know, and, you know, I told him, just go out, just do it, that's heat. I said, that's easy heat, bro, that's easy heat. He was like, somebody's ribbing me. I was like, dude, just go out. You see, now, if it was me and they played that, I'd go out there dancing like Elvis, you know?
And see, I know you would have. I thought it was hilarious, right? I just watched the video. Greg sent that to me. And it took him out of his game for a few minutes, didn't it? I mean, it completely shocked him.
Yeah, he didn't know what to do, and he was really upset. And, you know, I mean, hey, you know, I guess, you know, he's used to doing one thing, and then they go ahead and change the game plan on him. But, you know, I mean, they're the promoters, man. They're the bosses. They pay us, you know what I'm saying? So I do what they want to do, you know?
Yeah.
So
what did you think about all of that at the end of the day with Kevin Cross and building a little bit of heat with him and you know?
It was a good time. I thought he was a great worker. I had, you know, definitely without a doubt, the future of the business. You know what I'm saying? He's definitely one of the guys that is going to help, you know, guys like me are going to have eventually pass the torch to him. And I said, eventually, I'm not ready yet. So, but, you know. But, you know, hey, he's a good guy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, hell of a worker. I mean, the guy Stepstool, Tommy, whatever his name is, the little dwarf guy, he was great. I mean, you know, and then the manager.
He almost stole the show, guys. Tommy D almost stole that show.
Yeah.
That guy was
Tommy D. He was funny. But you know what? I totally destroyed him with my promo. I totally over my promo when they were cutting their promo and usual heel promo, I went out there and I just killed it. Had fun with it. You know, it was a good time, you know. But they're all good. It was all good. I thought the show was great top to bottom. You know, I mean, he had Steve Cox and Greg Schwab have a great, great deal over there. They have a great bunch of guys coming and working from Moonshine Mantel to Manimal and, you know, they just, it's all good. Brandon Groom, and, you know, if I missed anybody, I'm sorry. But you know what? He has a really talented roster that looks like wrestlers, and they can work, you know?
Yeah.
And it can work. And I'm proud to be part of Do It To It Promotions, and I'm glad Steve has me on board. And, you know, it's just really a good time. And, of course, you know, my partner in crime, Cahagas, Paul Antone, Tokyo Monster, love him to death. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just good stuff, you know?
So. Now, bringing up Cahagas. Now, guys, in Oklahoma.
SD, can you unmute Ron real fast?
Let's see if looks like he dropped it. We do have someone else here. Let's bring on. We got someone from the 305 area code. And there's Ron back.
All right. Like I said, if Ron calls back, yeah, make sure to unmute him.
There he is.
Ron was actually upset because he was actually using his grade A penis vibrator, and it went out when the power cut out. So he couldn't. He was just about to ejaculate.
Yes, I am mad. Actually, I was using penis
I would be amiss if I did not cut my insane humor into the mix. So, well, but the scary part was that that the whole scary part, the whole situation when you were running out of power, is that the whole time all Sean Kane was thinking of, how can I market this on video?
That's it. How can I put it on video, man? How can I make a buck out of it?
he was thinking of, he had it edited in his brain already.
I was trying to get there. You know, the bad thing is that, you know, Andy, they lost your match. And
yeah,
never
I heard
got
about
recorded.
That. What the fuck happened? How could you lose the main event? You know, it's like Jesus Christ, it's like the presidential speech, you know what I'm saying? Oh, well, what happened? Well, we lost it. You know?
How do you lose the main event? When Greg told me that today, I laughed. I just, because you got to be fucking kidding me, man.
Greg is pissed off, and so is Steve. Because, I mean, they put a lot of money into this, and all of a sudden we have
$4,100 it cost for that camera crew. $4,100.
And a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they should have had somebody who was competent behind the camera. Instead, the guy sent his son. So I think
we have
USA,
my wife films SCW, and we get them all.
Sean, I'm telling you, that video company should give do it to a promotions at discount the next time around.
A full refund.
They lost the main event.
How can you lose
main
the
event.
Main event and that's not what you're going to build off of with
run
TV
they spent $4,100. They spent $4,100 cash money, man.
Yeah,
we have this group video
we run three cameras and two iPhones,
yeah.
And we never miss anything. My
3-year-old
wife runs up and down ringside, Andrew. She'll be taping your match. 53 years old.
You'll see her running
up and down taping your match the whole time, and she won't miss a damn thing.
Maybe somebody out there maybe had a video camera or a cell phone camera that filmed the whole thing. Maybe they could put out a request for somebody who was in the audience over there to do that. I mean,
were you in Mississippi or Oklahoma? Where were you?
Yeah, we were in Oklahoma. Yeah.
Doubtful.
Yeah, but you know,
come on.
Hey, it is what it is. You know, I feel like Steve and Greg should get their refund on that, man, because that's wrong. You know,
yeah,
that's wrong.
Hey, Andrew, let me get a quick point. What I'd like to say is there was probably more banjos than cell phones in that audience.
Yeah, I love Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma. It's been good to me. That city's been good to me. Tulsa has
every
been
front row seat
city.
Was a wooden rocking chair that came with a pipe, I heard. That's just what I'm just saying.
And a jug of moonshine.
He's listening, and I'm ribbing him. That's all.
And a rocking chair with a jug of moonshine right next to it, right?
With a jug of moonshine and an old wooden pipe and a knife in the middle during the show.
So, Sean, what did you want to ask me about Tokyo?
Oh, so something I heard that the guy wasn't selling for Cahagas, so Cahagas hit him harder. And gave the kid no chance not to sell for him. I guess
I can confirm that would happen.
Well,
in the back, and he was like, you know, was really upset that he, you know, that he upset him, or I don't know what all happened after that match.
Well, you know what? I think that I really don't know, because my match was up coming up right after that.
Okay.
So I didn't get a chance to really, but you know, I know that. You know, they did have a decent match. You know, I mean, Cahagas pulled it through, carried it through. I mean, the kid Brandon Groom is not. Brandon Groom is not a bad worker. He's not a bad guy. It's just I don't think he was listening or selling enough for Cahagas. You know, and I know Paul personally, and Paul ain't going to take that. Just like I wouldn't take it.
He ain't going to take that.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about with Ron, because, you know, Ron has had a classic match with Cahagas.
I've seen it.
Listen to me, Sean.
Sean, the Aborigines in a hut in the middle of Zimbabwe that have seen that match.
I believe now my horrible claim to fame.
That was his 15 minutes of fame, you know.
But when you hear somebody not selling for him, knowing that I know Ron Von Hass, who literally went through the ringer with the guy, you know, and then I hear, you know, the first thing when Greg was telling me that today, I'm like, oh my God, did the guy live?
Yeah.
Did he just kill him in the back? I mean, what happened?
Yeah. There were also some. I'm not going to mention any names, but there were also some respect issues that Cahagas and I both have with certain people that should have paid respect to Greg and to Steve like they should have, but they didn't. But you know, hopefully next time they will have a different attitude. You know.
You know what? Let's touch on that for a second. You know, because a lot of people might not know locker room etiquette.
Yeah.
Andy, when you walk into a locker room, what do?
You shake everyone's hand.
That's right.
And
Von Hess, when
do,
you walk into a locker room, what do? And I've seen you do it a hundred times. What do?
But you've been with me, Sean. You know whether
you know?
The guys like me or not, I always walk up to the guys and shake their hand. Shake
Listen,
their hand,
I
guys
shake,
run and, guys
I
run
shake
and
the
hide
hand.
In the shitter.
I shake the hands of everyone from the ring crew guy to the referees to the cameraman. To the guy selling merchandise, I shake everybody's hand. You don't look down
even
on
the fans,
somebody because
everybody.
Yes, you
I, everybody.
Don't look down
everybody.
On somebody.
Yeah.
You don't look down
they
on somebody.
They make our industry for
aware.
Us. I say that all
yep.
the time.
They
make
they,
our
they
industry
pay,
for
they,
us.
They pay my mortgage. Those people. You know what I'm saying? They help
yeah,
me.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
So you know.
But
yeah,
I've been with Ron many times, and Ron does the same thing.
They don't respect those.
I've seen Ron walk into a locker room. Yeah, I've seen Ron walk into a locker room and go all the way through 10-15 minutes before you know. Talking to everybody,
well, listen,
making sure everything is cool, but that's what you're supposed to do.
Listen, I got to tell you guys a story. So I'm working this one kid in the tape fist match, and I got this brand new white tape fist around my hands. So I go over the match briefly with the kid, give him an idea of what I'm going to do, and I say, I'll see you out there. So now the kid's shitting because he knows my reputation with the chops and the punches and everything, and I have a temper, and he knows the whole deal. So the kid, so listen, so I go ahead and I lock myself in the bathroom, but I wasn't in the bathroom. I just locked the door and left it closed. So the kid came out. They played his music. He went out first, and then I came out. And I had a local title on the East Coast title. And then when I came out, before I went out, I rubbed chocolate all over the white tape. So it looked like I wiped my ass with. So I got up there, and I'm cursing the whole time. I said, God damn it, they didn't play my music too, played it too early. I'm not done taking a shit. I think I tore it up. The kid, every time I threw a punch, the kid was running away from my fist. Literally running. He wanted me to lock up with him. So he just. So I told everybody at the end when he comes in the back, say, man, you smell like shit. the poor bastard, man. The poor bastard was shitting the whole time. And I kept rubbing the taped hands in his face. And, you know. And it was just one of those
That's
things, though. Oh, my God. It was just funny. That's almost as good as the story. It's almost as good as the story my dad told me when some Japanese wrestler was sleeping in his room in Tokyo after a show at the Egg Dome, and Greg and Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch ran past the room. Adrian Adonis stopped, looked in the room, jumped in the room, and took a shit on the guy.
Oh, my God.
It's literally
that would make
you
fight
we love,
right there. That would make you want to fight everybody. I'd be pretty hot.
Oh my God. You know, it's just funny.
I got a good one. I have a really good story like that. I have some friends that toured with Jake the Snake and Terry Funk, and they were trying to outdo each other. And let's just say one person supposedly drank a glass of urine and the other one jumped up and peed all over everybody on top of the desk.
I heard something like that with Jake doing. Listen, I've seen Jake in action. Oh, I had Jake in a chin lock one time in North Carolina about 15 years ago, and I got him in a chin lock, and I'm saying to myself, okay, make his comeback, and all of a sudden he's not making his comeback, and then I feel a little bit of wetness on my mouth, and I look over and Jake's snoring, and I was like, what the hell? I was like, what the hell? So I woke him up, and I said, Jake, what the fuck are you doing? He goes, oh, sorry, brother, that felt good. I needed a power nap. You know? So, Jake,
oh, that's great.
Only shit like that will only happen to me. I've come to the conclusion, Kevin will tell you, it'll only happen to me. You know?
Oh, I don't know. I've had some pretty dumb luck, too. Sometimes, like, really bad stuff just happens to good people. You just can't help it.
But you know, I gotta tell you, Sean, Do It To Promotions is gonna be one of the best things happening out there. And I just hope that we can expand and not just run in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We can go in other states and bring this product out there because we have good old school wrestling, bro.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know, and there's a couple of guys like Ron that I'd like to get out there on the card too, because, you know, it's that type of wrestling. It's not a lot of high marks, but it's guys that you would meet in a bar. You know, it's like, you know, like I said when we first meet Rowdy Piper, that guy can actually kick your ass in real life.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys, when I'm in the backstage with them, it's disappointing because you know that these guys couldn't fight the way out of a paper sack if they had to.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But you also see how light they touch each other in the ring, and you see how soft they are when they go through their motions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sean went on tour with me and Hot Hands Mendoza.
Yeah,
that's great.
And Hot Hands, well, you can see him on the second. Andy, that's gonna be a fun match. I'm gonna come down to watch that one with you two because that'll be fun.
Awesome.
That'd be classic.
Awesome. You know,
it's gonna be a fun weekend, Sean. Me and Triple D are working him and Coach on Friday.
Oh, nice. That'll be good. Great. Maybe I can come out and manage you, Ron, and I'll slap Andy around a little bit.
Yeah, we'll let you know. No, actually, you're supposed to be on my side, Sean. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, remember, Sean, you're the heel, so you'll have to manage.
Oh, that's right.
Andrew.
I'm the bad guy. I can't help it.
You should manage Andrew against Edsel and manage Andrew for Coach and Kevin against me and Triple D.
Hey, that would be fun.
What do I care? Triple D's going to take the heat anyways.
That's funny.
Andy is a Rick Morton type character.
Yeah, we need more characters. We need more characters. I think we've got to bring a lot more into, you know, hook them up. Like Kevin has been dealing, I guess, talking to Steve and talking to Greg a little bit about coming, Kevin Sullivan, and you know, which would be good because I talked to Greg about maybe reuniting the Army of Darkness with me, Cahagas, Kevin Sullivan, and Abyss and Haku, you know.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Tour because,
you know,
I mean,
and I really like Chris Parks. I did a film with Chris, Ultimate Deathmatch 3, mm-hmm. and he was such a class act guy all the way around, just a truly gentle man.
But yeah, he's a great guy. You know, it'll be a good time. We'll have a good time. And
do you know what you need for that, Andrew? Is you need a 5'9" dog on a chain with fangs. That's what you need to finish that angle off. You need a 5'9" tattooed, fully dog with chains with fangs. That's
talk
what
to Papa
finish
Smurf.
Off that army.
Talk to Papa Smurf when you see him. So.
I'm sure he'll be calm.
Let me ask you a question. You think we could find a vat of blueberry juice and put him in it to go swimming and come out?
I have a vat of blueberries right now. We could do that.
Get a vat of blue dye. We dye Kevin blue and have him run around as Papa Smurf.
Hey, they did that at Hood Slam with Nugs on a couple shows ago, and he looked a lot like Kevin. I was cracking up.
Did Kevin ever tell you when he broke the monkey's neck playing Oz? And he was doing he gave the monkey a tug and he broke the little monkey's neck and he was walking out as the wizard and they came out and he's dragging this monkey with a broken neck around and the monkey's keeper screamed, "What are you doing to my monkey?" The monkey ran, tried to run out of the thing and he jerked the leash and snapped the monkey's neck.
Are you talking about
on WCW with the character
WCW
Oz?
When Kevin Nash was Oz, came out as the Mighty Oz.
Yes.
You know, Kevin dressed
was
up
Kevin
as a wizard.
He was the wizard.
Yeah, he was the wizard. Oh. Going, welcome to Oz.
Oh, God.
And they think
he really broke the monkey's neck.
It was Kevin Nash, Kevin Sullivan, and the fucking monkey. The monkey's name might have been Kevin. I don't know. You know, but God rest the monkey's soul. I mean, I don't want to get any animal rights activists upset with Kevin. They're going to be outside his house. At Victoria Island with a freaking sign saying "Save the monkeys, save the seals," you know, and stuff like that. But you know,
oh my God,
if they
could
get across that water.
I get people attacking the Benoit thing every day. If they don't do for that, then the monkey thing, I'm sure we're fucking safe. Every time I have a guy take a picture with Kevin, some fucking Fruit Loop comes out of left field going, "Hey, that guy murdered Chris Benoit and his family," and I go, "Hey, you're fucking retarded."
Yeah, people are just out of their fucking minds. You know, some
I mean, really, people
don't
look at
it.
The facts of that, and they just don't—they don't even understand that if Kevin did that, he'd be in prison. I mean, forensics and even Chris Benoit's own dad said he did it. It's like fucking read a book, motherfucker. Jesus Christ!
Well,
Hey, guys, you know, really, listen, the world would be better off with dumb people gone.
Listen, guys, I got an early morning tomorrow, and I got to hit the hay right now, so I just want to thank you guys for having me on. All right?
Hey, thank you. We'll get your stuff all straightened out, and we're really look forward to having you down, and thank you for calling in on a stormy show, and you know, just thank you for you know coming on and being so gracious and telling stories and you know.
Listen, I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time. As long as wrestling's fun, it's guys like you guys, like you, Ron, and you, Sean, that make it fun for me. You know.
Yeah, one last thing. You're a big Marvel Comics and comic book fan like myself.
Huge. You know what? I want you to bring me to a comic store up in Washington, in Seattle, if you can.
Oh, I got some good ones. There's only one right here by my house in Bremerton, but I'll be happy to take you to that one. I used to be the spokesman for that store. They're really cool.
What time are you flying in, Andy?
I haven't looked on the itinerary. I think they might have changed my flight since Coach originally booked. So I think they sent me a change of flight. I think I'm flying into Dallas first again.
God.
Yeah,
I know that you have a shuttle, Andrew. You got a shuttle. I know that. I don't know if you're.
Yeah,
going
I know.
To
I know. Listen, call Kevin and ask him about the shuttle story with Mike Jones. Ask him.
Oh, Jesus Christ! I'm sure I'll hear about it. If there's any other issues, we'll get it all took care of.
Yeah,
just call him.
Yeah. I think there was a little. I think Mike didn't realize what shuttle I was taking, and Kevin. Just trying to tell him which show I'm taking, so I don't know, but it was pretty comical.
You know,
who's on first?
I fly out more than any of them, Andrew. I don't know why they just didn't call me, because I take the shuttle every time, so they know me by name.
Then you and I will put it together. You and I will put it all together.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get it all straightened out. Don't worry about it.
Awesome. All right, guys. Listen, have a good rest of the Tuesday night, and I'll see you guys. I'll be up by you guys very soon, all right? 2 weeks.
All right. Let's hope I get my power back soon.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Congratulations
on
all your success and everything, okay?
Thank you, buddy. Hope some of it rubs off on all you guys, and we all do good business together. You know, make a lot of money.
Good business.
You know?
Oh,
yep.
One last thing, says we're trying to put an Andrew Anderson seminar together too while you're in town. So I'll be in touch about
do
that
it.
Too.
Let me know, okay? Seminar.
All right, be
fine.
Cool, Andrew.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
All righty, guys. What an excellent, excellent, excellent interview.
Oh, hey, Ron,
yeah,
you have
okay,
a Yemen. Can I bring it on?
What's that?
You have a call from Yemen. Should I bring it on?
Oh, yeah, sure. Why not? I'm almost out of power on my cell phone anyways. Entertain me. He's got to get
his
rug.
How you doing, Sean? Sean Kane?
Yes.
Hey, what's up, brothers? Dabashi.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you doing?
Oh, good. I just called in to talk to that piece of shit, Ron. I didn't know you were on here, so I knew your ratings will probably go up a little bit, but
Thanks for hiring him, Sean, by the way. Thanks a lot, motherfucker. Thank you, Sean.
Hey, I got a bone to pick with you. You said You said your daddy was about the same size you are. Kurt Von Hess was 6'2", 270 pounds. How in the hell are you going to fit in his boots that
I guess you'll just have to come out and say.
Yeah, piece of shit, liar.
We have the same size feet pretty much damn near within a half an inch, believe it or not. So come on out and see for yourself. I guess I have big feet.
But I told you
just like everything
times.
Else I have is
I
big.
I just wanted to tell you, as the listeners that dropped off since Andrew Anderson had left, and I know you got some ratings left because you have Sean Kane on and Sign Guy. Well, I just want to let everyone know that I still think you're a piece of shit.
Oh! Well, thanks for calling in to the number one podcast. So, thanks for
number
calling
in. Number one podcast? When's the last... I want to know how in the hell did the shuttle know your name? When's the last time... When's the last five times you fly out of Seattle?
Let me see. I've gone to Alaska to do TV four times this year for F
there. You did?
And let's see, what else? I've gone to Arizona to do a sold-out show and teamed with Rashi Brown on another show.
Uh-huh. That was a wonderful
match. Where would I go? What was that?
That was a wonderful match.
It was a good match. Very good match. Very highly received. The promoters are very happy. They're bringing me back, actually, because they said the match actually lived up to the hype. So they were very happy with my performance Rossi's. Rossi's actually in there on the regular now.
So how are you going to disrespect your dad's shoes having piles of shit in them?
Well, at least we've made progress, because at least you're admitting that he's my dad now. So we're making
progress.
We're making progress.
I want to know how. So that means Kevin Sullivan was related to Kurt Von Hess?
Kevin's my adopted uncle. He's not related to me at all. That was revealed a long time ago.
You said you were his uncle. Now he's adopted.
I said he was my uncle. Yes, not blood. He never said blood.
And then what about Blackheart? That's what we had said on Facebook.
Tom Nash has publicly been on this show and declared himself one of my mentors.
Ron had all these gimmick names. Sean is from his mom, the Rat, that did all these wrestlers. That's he took.
Oh, now you want to talk about my mom. Great. My kid, my mom,
man.
My dad. Yeah. Son, you're going to get
so many fight scenes
in this movie. You're going to get fight scenes in this movie, because one of us probably ain't going to make it off the fucking set.
Sean.
Yes.
Since that's true, he'll probably use your name as a gimmick, because he had some the other night, didn't you?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's great.
Blackheart 2.0 is going to be Vaughn.
My mother passed away last year, as everyone knows. So I suppose Sean dug my mother up and had sex with her, and then did that right. I mean, you
Kane
did
it.
I like the cold one from now on, from time to time.
You pulled every other really dirty card from my dead daughter to my dad. So, I mean,
well,
what do I really care? How dirty you dig? Because you know what? I know for a fact that you have a lot of influence in the UIWA office, just like at the AIWF office when you cost him a world title shot there. I know that you're behind all these dirty ass. When I was ready to wrestle Rod for the world title then. And you cost me several world title shots. It's just what you do.
I didn't cost you nothing.
You throw smut,
we jumped.
Throw
Chief and I jumped
name.
To the UIWA because we didn't play no crap.
UIWA does nothing but play crap lately. I'm the number two contender. But after I beat Rod's ass on December 5th, then we'll see what's up. And I want you to have
I guarantee you ain't going to beat Rod. You ain't going to beat Chief out of Kula Kula.
Yeah, okay. You remember
that.
You and Rod sit down and have another bucket of KFC and fucking toast to that, okay?
I got to tell you, though, I'm pretty impressed with Rob. Rob is a very big man that moves like a guy who's under 200 pounds. And he's quick in the ring. That guy he's legit.
And Sean, you didn't hire me because I'm any kind of slipper either.
You're there because you were, Ron, you have proven yourself over these last year that you can take a beating better than anybody else I've ever seen.
Oh, amen to that. And there's another thing, too. Ron said, because I'm off steroids, I got a little chubby and this and that. You know what? Let me tell you something. There's a difference, Sean. I may have gained some weight, but there's a difference. I could lose weight, and Ron will never get it in the ring. He won't be able to. He'll never get it in the ring. That's the difference.
See, Jeff, it doesn't matter. Like you saw, Sean, what Andrew said himself. I am the viral king. Everybody knows my level of toughness from here. There's guys in Aborigines. Huh? Is that not what he said, Sean?
Yeah, that's
that
what
know
he said.
Von, that know who Von Hess is.
Yeah, because
you're
back
about
in the
to
day,
get.
He'd be a good jobber. That's what
you're about
does,
to
get
the and the one person I'll never job for is you, bro.
Oh. See, how are you guys going to get through that match, guys, in that we have an Ultimate Deathmatch 4, where you guys are going to have to get along? I mean, you guys are going to be in the ring, and it's not even a wrestling match. It's a movie.
Sean, this is why they're making us pay $3,400 for the insurance
right.
for the cameras, because him and I don't fucking get along. That's why they're making
us pay
$3,400 to insure the cameras.
Well, because one of the cameras cost $14,000, you know.
Yeah, and if we had to afraid him and I are going to break shit and break the fucking cameras, which could
and you know what? Dave, that's true. That's what they said to me. That, you know, it's going to cost us $3,400 for the insurance because they're afraid that you guys and your temper and the way you guys are might break their equipment. So it's going to cost me an extra $2,400
to do the movie. Exactly.
To do the movie.
So we'll see what happens on set when it comes to that. I do think this will be the most realistic fight scene ever, and I'm trying
to keep you guys from not killing each other. The fight scenes are going to be great. I'm just trying to keep you guys from not killing each other.
Well, we'll see if he shows up.
It's all about the money. I'm not a wrestler. I'm a professional wrestler. I get paid. So if there's no green, I won't be there. If there's green, I'll be there.
We all know he's a whore, Sean. If there's green, he'll spread his legs. He's pretty much said it. He'll do anything for money. So
no. So you're calling all the other workers
whore?
Guess
what, Debashi?
The money's coming,
Debashi. So get ready to put your ass up in the air and like it's just don't care and scream.
Okay.
Like the rap song does.
I don't work for a hot dog or a pizza or nothing like that.
How about a taco?
There you go. How about a taco?
No.
Because the last time you made me tacos at Taco Bell, they were pretty good.
Really? 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 Really?
Really?
Okay. Like I said,
I'm lying, Sean. You can't even cook tacos right. You burned those fuckers too.
And I want to know too if besides Andrew Anderson. And like three or four wrestlers you got that could wrestle on the card. What? How's it going to be rebranded 50 times? You know, are you going to have some actual workers or untrained students on the card?
I think there'll be a solid mix. I can tell you that SCW just signed another wrestler from California Championship Wrestling that was doing TV every week. He'll be debuting on December 4th. I don't know his name. I don't know his gimmick. But he'll be there. We signed Otis, who's from Hoop Slam, who's in the Rolling Stone magazine, and is a phenomenal worker. I mean, FCW just
so when are you
going to
start drawing
a crowd? All the time.
So when are you
FCW draws a crowd. We draw even better like everybody else. 300 to 100, you know, crowds fluctuate. This is entertainment. Nothing is ever guaranteed.
So you say you drew 300 crowd last month.
Not last month, but we ran the show actually two hours earlier than we normally run.
You were in Bremerton
where it was standing in room only in the streets the night before, right or wrong.
What's standing room only?
Standing room only inside the club in Bremerton, all the way out to the door.
Oh, okay. How many people is that?
100, 150, but still a good crowd.
That's all you could draw? That's all you could draw?
Hey, in a crowd where I know personally you go to Oregon to do shows that draw 35, I'd say that's pretty good.
Really? When's the last time I went to Oregon?
That's why I don't go to Oregon to build money. It's all relative history.
There ain't no money in Oregon, brother. There's gas money, maybe.
No,
Sean,
when we won the tag belts down there, we actually had almost standing room only, actually. So when Beast
250 people,
down,
man.
So when
250
comes,
people in that
draw,
place.
When
that must be a pretty
comes,
small place for 200. That must be a pretty small place.
Well,
yeah, it's a VA.
No one's drawing the WWE crowd, my brother, but hey, we do what we
oh,
got.
Oh, yes, they are. ECCW's gone 1,500. 2000.
So when are you wrestling there? Bang.
Well, when are you going to wrestle besides SCW?
Well, actually, I get booked all over the place, and there's a rumor I'll be debuting in a federation that know it's a very big crowd in Canada very soon, actually. So stay tuned.
Who's that? Yeah, right.
I'm not going to say and blow the deal right now, you'll be seeing shortly when it's announced.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I'll give you a ticket and you can come sit front row with the rest of the fans.
Yeah. You got so much heat from Canada to Oregon, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
I just won the titles from Wade Hess and Thunder last month, and like I said, I'll be going to Canada shortly.
Back there, though?
Because you know what, Defala, I do put asses in seats. That's the bottom line.
You
people,
do.
They might
then what
come
happened
to see me get my head kicked in, but I put asses
like 25
in seats.
People at Bremerton. Boom.
25 people at Bremerton. Never happened. Boom.
Never? Okay.
Like I said, any show that's done at regular time at nighttime.
I like to see you draw 300 people.
Shows.
I like next month. I like to see you draw 300 people. Then you will impress.
Well, I don't know. The odds are
draw
we've
more,
got a guy
draw
selling.
More,
hot
draw more
let
than
me
three,
just say
two,
something.
One,
we've got a lot of guys out selling tickets for December 5th because we've got a hell of a card for the hair versus hair match. We've got, unfortunately, you're on the card. We've got.
Ooh, and who are you with that night?
If the money's
the
right, if the money's right.
Oh, if he shows up. If he shows up, Sean, that's right. Chief will show up. Is one thing about
SCW needs me. I remember, SCW needs me. I don't need SCW.
Okay, so in other words, he's a chicken shit, and he probably, his partner, Petrov, will probably be wrestling alone. He'll stiff him.
No. SCW needs me.
I think the fall is scared of Mother Chuck and Otis and Boyd is what I think.
Yeah, okay, believe.
I think him and Greg are scared of Mother Chuck and Otis and Boyd.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Scared of what?
Otis, why he's afraid Otis is going to give him the oil check up his ass and he's going to like it.
That's a big thumb,
anyway,
my friend. Just to let you know, that's a big thumb.
We all know Arabs love oil, so we know how that works.
Yeah, that's why we like you, nice and slimy, right?
That's right. Get all the beauty,
well,
girls
go.
For oil,
I'm gonna,
and then you I'm let
gonna
yourself,
let you go. I'm done making you famous. All this talk on Facebook, you got no chance, so thank you. So thank
well, thank you for my 15 minutes, motherfucker. I appreciate it.
That's right. And you are still a piece of shit.
Thanks for giving me the shine.
Hey, brother, can't wait to see you.
Lord knows, whenever we wrestle, you never shine. But thanks for giving me the shine.
Yeah.
No, I can't wait to see you guys. You know, I think you guys are probably the two best up here, man. So to see you guys in the ring working each other, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Sean,
I don't know. I'm
going to
blow him up really
stop
quick
lying.
In the ring if he doesn't get in shape, Sean. If he don't get in shape, he ain't going to make a long
stop
way.
Lying. You got to learn how to work, Ron.
Oh, well, we'll see. Well, the good thing about this movie is punches and kicks, so I think I'm pretty good at that. I think I'll be all right.
You
got
to learn how to work. Work the crowd. Don't look like a floppy fish, and then it'd be pretty good.
I got your floppy fish in my pants.
I like the story that Andy said about Jake falling asleep in the middle of the ring because he had a rear naked on him. That's working it safe, man.
Dude, don't say rear
naked
around the boss. You'll get him all excited.
Okay, Ron, you can suck my
dick.
Sean Kane, it was a pleasure once again.
Brother, I can't wait to see you again, man, my friend. We'll sit down and have a beer, and I can't wait to see you.
Well, I'm sure you'll both be giving each other hand jobs, I'm sure.
When you're as big as me, it's a double hand job, son.
Well, it's a hand job between friends, right?
It's pro wrestling. Maybe it's all a work. You know that.
Yeah, it's all the work. That's right. I won't be watching that work. I'll abstaining from that. I don't want to get any on me. I'm good. Ladies and gentlemen, the professional wrestling team that is the Pacific Northwest, the Fala and Von Hess. Better than the Muppets and way more entertaining. So.
So is Dave there, or did he leave?
I'm sure he left. I'm pretty sure he left.
I thought it was funny with Andy. Andy was cracking me up, man.
Oh, dude, the whole show, like, we have some of the funniest fucking shows on this show ever. we are
Shine Guy was killing it.
The funniest show on the air, hands down.
And gotta have a Tuesday night treat somehow.
That's it, man.
Yeah, it is. It is a funny, funny, funny world.
But life is funny, guys. You know, when you get right down to it, you never know where you're going to be at the end of the day. You think you do, but at the end of the day, you look around and you're like, fuck, man, how the hell did they get here? And then, you know, a week later, you're on a whole other path and you're down a whole other road, and life moves quickly. So it's nice to be able to take a time on Tuesday night to say hello and how nice it is to be around everybody.
Most definitely.
Sorry, Chris, you have power.
All right, guys, are everybody still there?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He just asked if you have power, Hess.
No, shit, no. I'm sitting out in my car, running my car right now. I'm going to have to charge my phone out here later. And if I want warm air, I'll have to come sit in my... I slept a lot in my car last time. I can't have to sit in my car because it's warmer than sleeping in my bed. So... Shitty, I had a job interview tonight too, so that's even shittier. So I may even have to go. Hopefully, they have power and I'll be able to go to work. I haven't heard that from them yet. So, all right, guys. Well, let's put the pen in another funny ass show. And I'm going to go inside and check on my family. And Sean,
all right.
I'll be in touch tomorrow and let you know.
All right, buddy.
Thanks for going. Helping me out when my power went out. Steve, guys, Andrew Anderson, if you're listening, thank you for calling in. You were really awesome. And thank you to everybody. Even thank you to Scrap and Paula for calling in and giving me a chuckle for 15 minutes. What can I say, Sean? You stirred up a whole fucking tub ball of wax on this one, dude. You might have a really
I always do.
Fucked up movie. You might have a fucked up movie set on your hands, my friend.
Well, you know what? If I can just keep you two in two different areas at the time, we'll be okay. You know, because
you've had blood on your hands before, from what I understand. So.
Oh, well, you know, only on the right hand. The left
Sean
hand
really
is
likes,
shame,
Sean really likes
just
to
let you know.
Sean really likes to stir the pot. So,
no
problem
for this movie.
Sign guy, go ahead and play my song. Dimitri, do you have any Warrior Kids Day news or anything you want to put out?
No, just right now, say he's doing wrestling season for his school. They'll be having their first meet. He's starting on varsity. He's
awesome.
Doing that.
Awesome.
So he's just enjoying it, doing that at the 220. So yeah, just the stack of monsters they have at their team this year, and with him leading on the pack, 220 for varsity. I'm like, wow.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Congratulations. I hope he has a great year.
Oh, he will. The kid's a fucking beast, man. He's already looking all buff and shit. I already, when he wrestled the boss, he had HBG, gave him a fucking run break, buddy.
Great.
I heard you couldn't take Zay, Debashi. That's what I heard, if you're still listening. I heard a 16-year-old kid almost whipped your ass. You want to take me on? Tough luck for you.
Oh, that's going to be good. All right, guys. Y'all have a good night. Thanks, D. Thanks, Sign Guy. Talk to you tomorrow,
hey,
Ron.
Most definitely, sir. Until next time.
I'm not saying Zay couldn't give me a run for my money either, by the way, but he's
well,
a good kid. He's a good kid. He's a good kid. And Debashi couldn't use a fork on him, too, so he was really out of his element.
Good. Have
kid,
a good night, guys.
Kid,
thank you.
That kid can, AD, your kid can grapple. Your kid can grapple.
Be wild for that one.
Oh, yeah. Can you see Von Hess versus Warrior Kid today? That'd be insane. All right. Well, guys, have a great night. Shy Guy, me. Go ahead and play my Wolfman Jack and then play the ending Yellow Wolf song, and let's go home.
Do it.
We'll see you guys next week on this show. And just remember, listen to my show. Do it. Do it. Do it. Listen to my replays. Do it. Do it. Do it. Listen to my replays. Do it. And remember, brought to you by Freak Show Underground, Ultimate Deathmatch 4, filmed and coming to a theater near you. See DePaulo DeVos and Von Hess literally kill each other on the set. It will be movie magic. Will it be movie fucked up shit? We will see. But you're going to have to turn in and see Ultimate Deathmatch 4, Freak Show Underground. Probably not the commercial they were looking for, but still the one they're getting. And do your thing, Sign Guy. We'll see you next week on Big Bon and D. Bring the woo heat. Do that shit. Do it. Do it. Do it.
with that guy.
We got to close it out. That's it for the Wolfman Jack Show for tonight. Be back again tomorrow night. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, gonna suck it to you tomorrow, baby.
I move your picture.
I move your picture.
From my wall.
From my wall. I present.
And I replace them.
Both large and small.
Both large and small.
To sign the call, baby.
And each new day.
Each new day.
Finds me so blue.
Find me so blue.
Nothing takes the place of you.
Just remember, nothing takes the place of you.
I read your letter.
I read your letter.
One by one.
One by one.
And I still love you.
I just want you to know, baby, I still love you.
When it's all said and done. And oh, my darling, I'm so blue.
Because nothing.
Because nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, nothing. Takes the place of you.
As the moving finger writes, it says until tomorrow. I'll wait for you. As each teardrop glistens on my letter.
Without you, nothing seems the same.
Without you, nothing's the same.
So I'll wait. Until you're home. Again, I love you. But I'm all alone.
I'm all alone till I see it again tomorrow night, baby. Until tomorrow, I love you so much.
I'm so blue.
Bye.
Because nothing, oh, but nothing takes the place of